Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Queer PG. And we're doing another new game showcase here. The last one we did was for Valentine's Day. We did Elliot Davis's rom-com Drama Bomb. But this time, we're doing Hunter Hunted, which is a new game by Super Dylan and Megan Cross. This is going up on Kickstarter on July 15th, which is the day this comes out. So we're partnering with them to show off their new game, and hopefully you guys will like it and head over to the Kickstarter and check it out. But to play with me today, because this is a two-player game, I have a wonderful guest who I'm excited to have on the podcast for the first time, Lexi.
Oh my goodness, hello, hi.
Hello, hello. Where can people find you on the interwebs? What do you do?
Yeah, so my name's Lexi. I go as Black Girl Mage on all of the internet, everywhere. Thank God I cinched that branding. And I am a professional dungeon master, game master, storyteller, screenwriter, musician, showrunner, all of those things. I run games for people, and I like to do that a lot.
Valid, so do I. I think that's, you know, probably why I started a podcast.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe there's a reason for that. But yeah, I'm super excited to have you here to play through this game with me. I think it's going to be super fun. So Hunter Hunted is a two-player collaborative storytelling game. You start out choosing who is going to be the hunter and who is going to be the monster. There is a dice mechanic in this, as well as a playing card mechanic. So you have 2d6, and you do a roll-off with between the two players. And whomever gets to doubles first wins that part of the round, which is considered the chase. And after the chase is over, then you settle into doing a role-playing scene. And you do this as many times as it takes to complete the game. We have a tracker. Every time you win, you get one step closer to your quarry. Those are kind of the basics of it. But this game is super collaborative and wants you to do character creation and setting creation together jointly. So we are going to do that for you here today. Lexi, do you have a thought about whether or not you want to be the hunter or the monster?
I would love to be the hunter, I think.
Cool.
I don't know why.
You know what? Sometimes the words just call to you.
It does. It does. I was like, this side of the playbook looks interesting. What kind of genre are we playing this in?
That is completely up to us to create. And once we get into like setting the stage, that's another question. So we can answer that now. This game came off to me a little bit horror-esque.
What if it's like a world, like sort of Western based, and instead of, you know, worrying about thieves and robbers and whatever else, people have to worry about monsters in the sense of like gigantic oil monsters?
Do you mean literal oil tycoons, or do you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Like,
so the evil capitalist.
The evil capitalist. But maybe it's actually like, I don't know. I don't know if we how much world building we have to do here, but
yeah, if you would actually prefer to start out in the collaborative stage setting, we can absolutely do that if that would help you more before we jump into character.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, so the first question on that is, where does the hunt take place? And the second question is, what time period, real or imagined?
I kind of like the vibe of a, you know, frontier kind of setting, imagined in that there's probably a little bit more technology than what actually existed back then, but and also like these oil things, these oil monsters are not exactly
real. I think that's cool. It sounds to me a little bit kind of like a post-apocalyptic setting, simply because there's more technology but like everything is deserted. Sort of,
yes.
Vibe.
Yeah,
into that.
Yeah, like we've reverted to saloons because it's like the only way to get a drink, to get like you have to be with other people. Maybe you have to make noise or something. I don't know. One of those kind of constrictions where it's like it makes sense that in order to survive, we kind of go back to not using electricity and people kind of flock together, but it's a generally very gravely silent setting. Like, nobody's having fun.
No fun allowed in
no
these
fun allowed.
Towns. I'm totally into that. Also, weirdly enough, it kind of fits in with the next season of our show we're doing, which is a horror western.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Cool. So it says you will open the game at the beginning of the hunt, or you will pick up in the midst of an ongoing hunt. What do you think about that? I'm thinking, like, maybe the beginning.
Yeah.
So we can maybe set the stage a bit.
Exactly. If it, that's mostly, I think, is good for me, but it's also good for you to know where you are. If you are the monster, you know?
Uh-huh.
How far away from me are you?
And there's two more questions here, but I actually think I want to save those until after we figure out a little bit more about our characters. You are the mighty monster hunter. I am the oil monster. Are we going for literal with this? Like, the oil monster is a literal monster made of oil? Are we going with it's a person who has come to some place and kind of destroyed it by building in, like, an oil rig? Are we doing metaphor completely? What do you think?
It could be complete metaphor. And I also don't think you have to be an oil monster super, like, that could also just be, like, the incentive for me to chase you is that you are unlike the monsters that I've had to go after.
Mm, okay.
But you're different enough that I do have to hunt you. but you're okay. Maybe you aren't full, like, kaiju oil monster level, you know?
Uh-huh. Alrighty. I kind of like that.
Unless you want to be an oil monster.
No. I don't really actually want to be an oil monster.
Right. Right, you don't want to be covered in goop all day, unable to sleep or anything.
I think, like, there's a cool thing here of the oil monsters and humanity mixing in a sense, and I'm, like, the in-between. So I'm close enough to human that it's even scarier that I'm not human.
Yeah, like, I literally have to hunt you because there's no... Like, I can't explain it, and part of it is probably other people being afraid because they're like, what does this mean for humanity? But then me just, like, deep curiosity of, like, what is this thing? What is going on?
Yeah.
I love it.
I kind of like a humanoid-esque creature with, like, grayish skin and just, like, black veins that are, like, quote-unquote the oil kind of running through. The visage and, like, the face is not really clear. You get, like, an outline, but it's not fully there.
Oh, if it was, like, bubbling, like, rippling oil waves over your face. It's, like, everything else is, like, skin and bones, but, like, and just veins, and then the face is just, like, the loss of the humanity there. Oh, this is so sick. Okay, great.
I feel like we already answered your question, which is what is driving you to pursue your quarry, which is I am
the
not,
strangeness.
Yeah, the strangeness, the weird. And it says, were you hired or charged by someone else, or is this all you?
I think it's half and half. I think I was hired probably by whatever town. I assume it's a pretty, like, small location, like, small town where there's a bunch of people, and then it's just wilds everywhere else where you can encounter anything that's left over in this post-apocalyptic landscape, which is cool because we can be creative with what we actually encounter out there, but I think people from the town probably figured out what was going on, and I don't know, maybe you're from the town. I don't know. We can decide that stuff for you too, but I think the people in town hired me. And then the other half of it is just curiosity. Like, what does this mean for everyone if this is becoming a norm? And who are you? Who were you?
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of, like, meshing this with, like, a changeling tale where some woman gave birth in town and I was what came out. And they were like, absolutely the fuck not. and, like, deserted me in the wilds, wherever. And so I grew up with this malice towards that town because they disowned me.
Yeah.
But not quite enough, like, brotherhood kinship with the actual oil monsters to fully integrate into that society either.
You having both worlds and not being able to be a part of fully either one of them, partially because humanity has the best and worst among them, and sadly the worst is probably what maybe prevailed, And these oil monsters, the lack of humanity is probably the problem there. Yeah, that's so cool. That is so cool.
And so why did you choose to stay is one of the questions I have. And I don't think I did. I think I'm almost like rooted to this earth and this land. So I couldn't escape even if I wanted to or tried to.
Dang. It's devastating. Love it.
Question for you. You carry with you a signature weapon. What is it and what about it is more than it seems?
Oh, I've got to go. I've got to go like blunderbuss. I've got to go like a long-barreled Winona Earp.
Yes!
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
I got a couple of shots and they're very good.
We just actually set this in purgatory from that show.
Okay, yeah, sure. Let's, real or imagined. Let's just put it in the best town on earth. That's also kind of what I'm imagining. Like, tons of people that are just afraid. They're afraid. They don't really know what's going on. And what has prevailed is this, like, neo-Western vibe. But yeah, I think I do have just, like, this very long-barreled gun that I use. What is its name? That's the real question. I feel like it's got to be something like Heaven. Or, like, it's got to be... I feel like it's got to be tied to...
I feel like there's something with paradise angel in or there something that could work. Like,
right?
Angel something or...
Seraphim. Yeah. I just call it biblically accurate.
Biblically accurate. Yeah. I'm sure there's a gun name generator.
Yeah, wait. Here we go. Fantasy name generators, do not fail me now. This is rifle names. Here we go.
Salvation.
Whoa. Salvation is great.
Willbreaker.
Dominion.
Ooh.
Corpse Maker. I feel like I gotta go Corpse Maker, right? Or Dominion. Dominion is... Oh, it's so good. Let's see. Serenity. There it is.
Okay. Serenity. Love it.
Oh, that's so great. Ties back to our angel theme. That would also be dope if the kind of hunter that I am, if I'm outside of the law in some way, shape, or form, and people hired me, if the people that do this kind of thing that actually hunt oil monsters are called angels or whatever,
okay, that would
fit perfect into, like, that genre, the style of it, too.
Okay, that's cool. And what about your gun is more than it seems? Like, does it, like, what's the, I suppose, supernatural, what does it do?
I think there's something here with, like, force, like, bullets being expelled by force and barreling through its target using, like, momentum, speed, velocity, and maybe my bullets just expel light instead.
You're never going to be able to shoot something and it bounces off. It kind of like rips through.
Absolutely tears through.
Material it hits, yeah.
Which can be a little bit dangerous if I like miss it, especially I assume with like all of the old, you know, mining shafts and whatever. It's like old structures, withered wood. If I miss, like a lot of bad things can happen because it'll just tear straight through for a very long time. But I think that it's not... I think I do have a regular gun that has regular bullets, but this gun specifically, or maybe I just have like a knife or whatever, but this gun specifically shoots these like bullets of light rather than bullets of like metal steel.
My question is, you have heard the stories told about you. What do people say about you and how much of these stories are true? I love when the horror story is real, that thing is horrific, but the actual like purpose or like heart of the thing that is the horror isn't bad.
Yeah.
So yeah. I was kind of considering like the game starting out with you finding me in the town, like watching people.
Yeah.
And then starting the chase, and then my end goal would be to get back to, like, the oil mine, because that is kind of my home in my, quote-unquote, safe space. And so I kind of like that people probably... It's, like, one of those things where, again, I'm... It almost hurts more that the people in the town also, I think, don't put me in with the oil monsters. They're like, actually, we're shunning you because you're a bad human.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I'm not. Like,
I could be worse.
I could be worse, or maybe I'm just not bad. And maybe you shouldn't have kicked me out and isolated me and all that. So I feel like it's the misunderstood monster that doesn't necessarily, it doesn't make the things that they have done okay, but I think creates some sort of heart and pause at the end where it's like, does this creature deserve to be dead or rehabilitated?
I think a very powerful opening, maybe. I don't know if we start the game, like, if we just start, you know, with a scene or whatever, but, like, the moment that I, even past, like, hunting you, or, like, first catching you watching people, just, like, me looking down the barrel of my gun, I have the opportunity to kill you, and I just let you go.
Yeah, we can definitely start it out like that. That's good.
That would be so sick.
Because that actually, like, puts an active thing into the hunt where it's like, you had the moment, you didn't shoot, I notice you, and start running.
Yes. And then you know what I look like, too.
You have heard stories of the monster you hunt. What do you know about the quarry, and do you believe everything you have heard about it?
I think all of the stories I've heard are the monstrous side of you. Like, I think I was fully expecting a monster. I was expecting a tycoon, you know, like, I don't know what we're calling them. But yeah, I think that's a great, great word for them. And especially, I don't know, what kind of crimes would you have gotten up to? Being that, I imagine that these, like, tycoon oil monsters are gigantic, but not kaiju level. I used the word kaiju earlier. I don't think it's kaiju level, but I think they're huge. Like, I feel like they're big as a house or something. Which is the danger of, you know, fighting them, is that they don't go down with one shot, and it takes a while to whittle it down and, like, actually kill it. Maybe we could come up with, like, a what their weakness might be together, but I think that, like, I was hearing mostly monstrous things, but they weren't big enough to condone me going and, like, doing a full hunt. Like, you weren't ripping barns apart or, like, doing anything of the like. So, I don't know. What kind of crimes do you think you would have gotten up to?
I think that it's, God, this sounds so small, but I think it was, like, trespassing, where simply people are horrified of me. I didn't have to do anything. I had to be seen. So my crime was being seen. And that was terrifying enough for you to be called in to take care of the problem.
I can imagine someone calling me in and, like, when I actually go to investigate, like, I asked to see the place myself and see what you had done. And it's like, everything's in the same place. Maybe there's, like, a kitchen, like, a cabinet open or something. But, like, just these, like, black steps on the ground, like, from where you definitely snuck in. It's just, oh, this is, yeah, this is a problem. But it's like, it could just be a petty crime, but it's happening a lot.
Yeah. And it's unnatural, the thing that is doing it. Do you believe me to be one of the oil tycoon monsters, or do you believe I'm something different?
I think you're something new and scarier up until the moment that I see you. Like, so maybe up until the moment that we start this adventure, the story together, I think you're something worse. Like, I do think you're an oil tycoon. I'm just, like, I'm not really sure what or how one could be this small and unnoticeable. Like, that's unheard of. So I think I believe everything that people are saying about you. I believe that you're stealing things. I believe that you, you know, oh, and my cat went missing. And it's like, you have nothing to do with the cat, but people are just blaming things on you now. So I absolutely believe, like, oh, you know, the Johnsons said that their all of their bullets were stolen and their food was gone and you've been stealing food for months and their kid ran away or whatever. And it's like, no, they were assholes, but they're blaming it on you, like, that kind of thing.
So the last question for me is, you've been hunted before. How did you survive and why are you hunted? We've been over why are you hunted enough, I think. Have you been hunted before? I think in the sense of like being run out of town multiple times and then just pushed onto the outskirts. And survival was like scrounging bare minimum. Like I had no idea how to take care of myself because there weren't anything else like me around. So surviving was luck to begin with. And surviving anybody hunting me has also been luck because I think I'm super quick.
If you're rooted to the ground, I imagine you're like literally, this is so weird. What's that one video game where you are spraying paint everywhere? I think they have a character in Super Smash Bros. It's like Squid Ink or whatever. It's like they spray ink everywhere and then they move through the trail. Like they can literally disappear, like drop down into the ink and then appear at the trail of wherever they. So if you literally are rooted in that, you can't leave the earth. I could see like oil being, you know, like you being able to disappear into puddles of oil and being able to move around. It makes absolute sense that would be a truth.
Yeah, then I think it's super hard to be hunted when I'm in my quote unquote domain, which is the oil mine. Because I've got a lot more places to go and hide.
Yes, yeah. And you can like make, if you can make oil happen, it's bad. It's bad for me.
Not good, not good.
Yeah.
Well, those are kind of the end of the character questions. And to go back up to setting the scene, what are the emotional states at the start of the hunt? I think for me, it's curiosity that upon seeing you becomes absolute fear.
Wow, am I going to do the absolute inverse? Because I feel like maybe I'm not afraid, and that's like the thing that makes me a good angel. Like that's a thing that makes me good at what I do, is that I lack fear and my fight or flight is permanently set to fight. And so I think you're like the first thing I've been afraid of in a long time. But then upon seeing you, and seeing the mixture of humanity and monstrosity, I think I just, it turns into complete curiosity, but it's not a healthy curiosity for sure.
And then the last question here is, what about you both is not what it seems? I think probably we've kind of talked about this, but my intention is misunderstood by you.
I wear leather gloves at all times. I'm always wearing gloves. There is no moment that I'm not. Wouldn't it be so messed up? Wouldn't it just be so messed up if my like non-shooting hand was turning to like oil? Like it was getting veiny and oily or something?
That would be so messed up.
It would be very, very cool. Because that either means I'm getting more like you, or angels are what turn into tycoons and we're hunting ourselves, like our predecessors, which is so scary.
Yeah, damn. Also, like a juicy reveal in the middle of the hunt is I'm yes! like you, actually, you know? Ugh.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's good. That's really it. Good.
Let's do it. Let's
okay.
do it.
Great. So we're going to begin by setting the scene as we've talked about, and then we'll jump into the first chase. But also, just so everyone is aware, while we play the game, we do have, as I mentioned at the beginning, a playing card aspect of this. So what happens is whomever wins the hunt, we move a token, and then also they draw from their deck of cards. So we have a virtual tabletop here with a deck of cards. Whoever's the hunter will choose from the hunter side of the screen. Whoever's the monster will choose from the monster side of the screen. And then there's a question that we will read out in the rule book that corresponds with the card that was chosen. Kind of using that prompt, describe the circumstances of that chase in its entirety and where we ended up for this small scene that will come out to either, you know, like, present moments, recall memories from past hunts and lives. And also you can use the card and completely do your own thing or choose to involve the other party in it. So if you read a card and you're like, I'm going to just like monologue, that is fully okay and appropriate to do.
Nice. Love that.
Hunter Hunted, live on Kickstarter, July 15th. Hey, is anyone else out there obsessed with dice? Does anyone out there want to join the I Have Too Many Dice Sets for My Own Good Club, or is this going to be a party of one? Because I would be the first to tell you that I have a dice problem. But I don't necessarily think that's the worst problem to have. So if you've got the same mindset, Queer PG has a fun little offer for you. If you head over to fanrolldice.com, you can use our code QueerPG10 at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. They've got gemstone dice, my personal favorite. They've got wooden dice, they've got metal dice, and a whole bunch of other designs and accessories to fit all of your dice gremlin needs. So, if you find you're itching for something new to add to your collection, head on over to fanrolldice.com and remember, QueerPG10, that's QueerPG10 at checkout to get 10% off. Have fun rolling!
The mists roll across the valley over the bodies of hundreds of dead as a large figure rises above the mountains, too large to be anything mortal.
Enter Pocket Bard, immersive audio made easy. With an ever-expanding music library, Pocket Bard has made soundscaping for your TTRPG needs seamless and so very simple. The easy-to-use app provides you with scenes that include ambiance, weather patterns, quick and easy sound effects, as well as backing music with just a touch of a button. Transitioning from town to a long travel journey? Don't worry. A large selection of the music and soundscapes adjust to your adventures, transitioning seamlessly into the next scene. You'll unlock a wide variety of music for all genres of play so that you can weave an incredible tapestry that'll make playing at your table even more memorable than it already was. Check out Pocket Bard at www.pocketbard.app or head to your nearest app store on iOS or Android to access the magic right now.
Have you been wanting to bring your home games to the next level? Maybe you're looking for the perfect holiday gift for the TTRPG-loving person in your life. Well, during the Hero Forge Black Friday sale, you can get savings as big as the stories you tell. Maybe you're a DM and you want to gift something physical to your players of their player characters in your campaign. Or maybe you're a player and you want to give the gift of an NPC in the form of a miniature. You can save 20% on physical miniatures and accessories, such as their iconic color plastic miniatures, their new, super cute custom acrylic keychains, or their 3D printed custom dice, as well as 50% on digital miniatures and STL files. The sale ends December 1st, so don't delay! Restrictions apply. Head to heroforge.com/sale for more details.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitterton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitterton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
Just past evening, The sun is not fully down, but it's down enough that there are shadows now between the corners of buildings and the alleys, hanging from the eaves of houses. And I think I am in an alleyway by the saloon, kind of hiding between barrels that at one point probably held some sort of drink, kind of peering up by these long, spindly, bony fingers at the window, just enough of the top of my head seeing in, but because my head is made of oil and swirling in black, from the interior of the saloon, it only looks like a shadow if you would look out the window. But I am there, creeping, seemingly not in tune with my other surroundings as I watch the lively group of post-work workers for the, like, one time of the day that they're allowed or feel that they can let the stress of this world go.
I am at the head of this alley. I'm standing there. And in fact, yeah, that dusky sun is peering over my shoulders. And where you are a shadow due to your nature, due to your position in the window and people's inability to examine what might scare them, I'm a shadow in that the light is completely behind me as I've finally caught you, I believe. I am wearing a long duster. I'm wearing a pauldron, which is just for show for sure. Big hat, dark brown skin, long gun, this pistol in my hand, dropped to my side, the barrel almost touching the ground, just how long it is. And I think I just take a step forward. I think I'll just yell out and just say, "Don't run."
Every muscle freezes as fight or flight kicks in, except there's a third option here, which is just to freeze, and that's what happens. And then the gray skin, tight skin, mottled with like black and purple spots of this creature kind of slowly turns and looks. And I think there's a moment where there's peace. Everything fades, the sounds fade, and there's definitely a recognition from me to you of, I've seen you, something about you is so familiar, I know you almost. And I see the gun at your side. And I see that it's not fully pointed at me. There's not full aggression from you. And flight kicks in. Muscles unfreeze. And I turn on my heel and run the opposite way down the alley from you.
Ugh, they always run. And I think I'm just gonna immediately kick and take off, and I will lift my gun. And this is maybe the first time you've ever seen this. For a lot of monsters, it's their last. I shoot one bullet, and it very pointedly isn't directly at you. It is next to you. And I think you watch it barrel through a huge, it will say like a trash can, maybe like a couple of trash cans that are out back. As I start walking down this alley, I actually won't run. Yeah, I'm just going to start walking. I don't think it's closed off, so you can absolutely, you know, get out if you wanted to, but I think I'm just making myself known and letting you know that if you run, there is a bullet waiting for you.
I think you also noticed that I could get away so quickly. I am moving at what would be normal for a human running away to be moving at. Whatever supernatural innate speed that I am used to moving in, I am not doing so. But that does lead us into our first chase. So we each have 2d6, and we literally just keep rolling 2d6 until the first person shouts that they got doubles.
Cool.
And that's how it ends.
All right. Oh, I got doubles. I got 2 threes.
I'm going to move the token that we have one step closer to monsters since you won that part of the race. And you will draw from your hunter deck.
All right. 8 of spades. The monster attacks when you have your guard down. How do you counter their attack and send them running?
If you don't mind me describing how Please. I attack and then you describing. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think I make it to the end of the alleyway. And I turn the corner and I kind of press myself up against the wood of the building behind me, chest heaving, breathing in such a human way, such a way that somebody has to catch their breath after they exert themselves. And that gun was so interesting. That gun was not like the other guns that have shot at me before. There was something different about that light, almost like a moth to a flame. I want to know what that light is, what that light is from. And so I listen as you're following me down at your pace, and I just turn the corner and my long fingers, almost like claws, and just a swipe across the opening of the alleyway at you.
I think I don't dodge because fight or flight is, you know, we've got the pedal pressed all the way down. So I think I fully take the brunt of whatever this attack is. So you said it's just like these oily claws. I think I do turn my shoulder a little bit, just throwing it in front of it. And I just take that. Yeah, I will immediately just like hiss. I'll try to grab your arm where you clawed at me. Like, I know I have to have deal with a little pain in order to get as close as I possibly can. I will grab your hand, and then I think I'll try to throw you off balance. I think I'm literally just trying to, like, flip you forward into the wall, maybe.
I think it hits with a sickening thud because there's some liquid as well in that sound. Like a splat as my side of my face hits the wood. But with that toss, you have given my speed momentum again. I fumble first, grabbing onto like the side of the wall before picking up speed and like pushing myself and continuing away from you down the alleyway.
Noting your speed, I'm going to start running full force. Walking was probably not the best idea. Because I feel like these alleyways, like, we're slowly getting to the outskirts of the city. And I think I'll know that. But I will run after you. I think the biggest thing for me is trying to just get you vulnerable again. So I don't want to waste another bullet. But I do think I'm going to take my dagger out and throw it at you. As we get closer to the outskirts of the city.
I think we should do another chase roll.
Let's
to
do
see
it.
If this dagger hits in the middle of our running. Oh, I got doubles.
Dang it.
And I'll draw my card, 6 of diamonds. Let's see here. 6 of diamonds. In a moment of desperation, you discover an ability you didn't know you had. What is it? I hear the whoosh of wind as this knife comes flying, and it's gonna hit. Like, it's gonna be on target. It's gonna be a bullseye. As it's going, I feel like the oil move through the veins in my skin. and come to the point of my body in which it can almost like feel where the dagger's gonna come in, and it and splits open that part of my body, and the dagger flies all the way through it and keeps going out the other side. I think I fault though and look down at the hole that is now in me, because that has never happened before. I turn my head over my shoulder, looking at you with eyes that aren't really there, and I just say, I want to get home. I'm gonna go home.
I don't think she hears you. I think she continues chasing after you. I didn't technically catch you yet. This is when I have to use my gun. My dagger's gone. You saw my gun before. I think that as I bring it up, you see this beautiful scorched black, the butt of the gun and like the actual tail end of the gun almost looks like molten that has just been settled and functionally formed to my hand. It reaches out almost like a long pointing judgmental executioning finger at you, as inside you can start seeing the light helix in the barrel as I'm going to start pulling the trigger at you. I do think I'm going to shoot.
Yeah, I think we should do another roll off here.
Yeah,
to see.
Let's do it.
I got doubles.
Dang it.
Five of diamonds. You find a hiding spot where you can watch the hunter undetected. What do you learn from observing them? So I think you shoot your gun, and I get rid of this impetus I had to be more like you. I get rid of the idea that I have to run on these 2 feet, and I like almost morph into a kind of slickness, and very quickly, almost like it's not teleporting, but it's just moving so fast through the air that I disappear from the alleyway. And I find myself on the upper floor of the interior of the building, right to the side. And I couldn't go farther because that light, again, there was something about that light from that gun that I wanted and needed to see. I'm peering out the window in the same exact position that I was peering into the saloon, looking down at you, watching you. And it's almost like I'm taking in your mannerisms, how you move, how you stand, the anger or disappointment that another bullet has been wasted, that's still kind of flying down this alleyway, the light disappearing into the distance.
I think you see solemnity. Like, I think you see someone who is stepping forward with so much sureness, and yet they are so desperately vulnerable. You see the shredded coat now on the right, blood dripping down my hand, dropped to the side, but there's no flexing, there's no like will or act to like soothe any pain. So you're also seeing someone who is just understanding that that is maybe the life I deserve. That is the life that I chose. So I think you see very square shoulders, eyes searching, almost as if I was cosplaying a predator. But I am truly the prey, and I know that. So I'm like darting around the way you would see like a small animal just in the wild, looking, but my eyes betray me. My body is showing that I'm like stern and strong and grounded and focused. My gun is up and I'm searching around and looking, but I just can't find anyone.
I think in the same movement, after a couple minutes of watching you down there slickly fly out again and appear in like a streak of black that becomes me behind you, and you can hear in the quietness of this alleyway, you don't want to kill me.
I turn, and in one sure motion, I have my gun barreled to your face, or the lack thereof.
Let's roll off again. Oh, I got doubles.
Dang it!
Alrighty, I moved the token. I'm so close.
Oh, this is devastating.
8 of diamonds. You are not always alone here. What about the hunter reminds you of someone you once shared this place with?
Oh, that is so... Oh, that's... Dylan! I'm gonna beat you up, Dylan! Oh, that's so great!
Here is a relative term, because here is an alleyway in a town that I do not belong to, but that I was born of. And before I was what I am now, I was a child. And before that, I was a baby. When a baby is sent away to be taken care of by the wilds, it becomes something that is easy for children to find out. As in, on that afternoon adventure sometime many years ago, a young kid playing pretend in the backyard could be seen by me from my hiding place behind a tree. And as if called, as if there were some sort of innate childlike telepathy, that kid's eyes moved towards where I was. And when I peeked out, it was the first time somebody didn't run away in terror. Because I wasn't scary, I was part of the game. For all intents and purposes, maybe I was a figment of their imagination. And I'm standing here looking at you in this alleyway, and there's something behind your eyes, something in the lines of your face, something in the way your lips quirk, and I suddenly know you. And you suddenly know me. And we're both two kids years ago whose lives took them in ways they could never have predicted.
Ow. Ouch. Oh, us playing cops and robbers, and I gave you my toy gun growing up. Oh, gosh. That's devastating. I'm flip-flopping with you in that I fully freeze. I start to hear that other people have noticed this altercation. Other people are taking note, and not even the people that have hired me yet. They haven't even hired me yet. I just happened to stumble across you. On your way out of the city, me on my way to get a drink. The patrons of the bar we were next to before have started to stumble out. And so I think I hear the murmurs of people. And that humanity, that source of humanity that reminds me what I'm here to do. I think you see my eyes flick to the right as I think about who's behind me, and it goes straight back to you. And I'm looking down the barrel of my gun. I think you do just, like, it is a full body just shiver almost as I... I think I do remember. Or at least there's that tinge of familiarity. What are you?
I don't know. I want to find out.
Where did you come from?
Beginnings are messy. But I came once from a mother. Once I came from the woods. And this time I came from my home.
And where's your home?
And I lift up a oil-slicked finger and point it down the alley to the outskirts of town to the oil mine.
How do I know you're not like them?
I'm different. They also think I'm different.
You can talk to them?
Not like we are. But they hurt me. I wasn't welcome.
What do you want? What can I give you that'll get you out of this city forever?
I don't want to leave. This is all I've known. And I want to learn to be something else.
You want to learn?
I want to learn how to be wanted.
I think I hear more people behind me calling after me, starting to chant, "Shoot it, Angel, shoot it, shoot it," and just yelling at me. And I think even in the fact that I feel like you know me, and these folks don't even know my name, but they're demanding something of me, I think I see an ounce more humanity in you than them. I keep my gun raised, but I say, "Go home. I don't know anything about what you want. I can't help you with that. But if you come back here, I will have to kill you."
I wanna do another chase.
Yes! Yes, 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 yes. Let's do it.
Oh, I got doubles.
Keep rolling twos and fours.
I've moved the token fully, which means that, you know, the hunt must end at some point. The monster has, quote unquote, caught their adversary and now has the power to end the hunt and possibly their adversary's life. To determine how the story ends, the player who ends the game with the upper hand, which would be me, gains narrative control, effectively the GM of the final scene. The other player is encouraged to roleplay, ask questions to further the narrative, and offer input on the last scene. So the point is, will you kill your opponent, find common ground, and flee? You just offered me the chance to run, to go home, what I was trying to do to escape you in the beginning. You've given me my way out. And I see that in your questions of, you can talk to them, when we were talking about the oil tycoons and all of that, that God, they live in that mine too. And I'm stuck in one room on the outskirts between the entrance and their domain. It's not really my home, it's just where I stay. And I don't have a home. And you told me to go home. And so I think I reach out and my hand lands on your shoulder. And I say, peering down the alley, seeing that these people have started to come, "What will be done to you if they see you let me go?"
"They won't let me rest until I until I find you again.
So we are always to be running to and from each other?
As long as you breathe, and I breathe, and people live in fear.
I wanted to become more like the people of this town to fit in. And I have watched them help each other, and I have seen people make sacrifices for other people. And so that is what I grasp onto when I say, that's a lot of wasted breaths, I would say, since I'm right here, right now. Thank you for treating me with kindness back then. I think I have to return the favor. You don't want them to see you let me go. So don't.
Where do you move?
I don't think I move. I think I stand with my hand on your shoulder, standing right in front of you, with your gun pointed at me.
Oh, do I have to take the shot? Oh no. I'm going to do something I've never done before, which is close my eyes while shooting my gun. But that's okay because I don't need them to be open. As I turn the gun the slightest bit, just pivot it the slightest bit, I want it to point kind of upwards, actually. And this tank, or I don't know what they're called. Like, it's not like a water tower, but it kind of is.
It's an oil tower.
It's an oil tower. You know where I'm going. Bullet of light just careens forward, and I think it does graze your shoulder, but what I really want it to do is go past you and up, angled towards this tower, pinging, and then spurts of oil start coming out. And the people start complaining behind me. They start screaming and shrieking, but they're starting to run because of the purpose of, we have to get the right people to solve this problem. This is a completely different problem now, and oil in this capacity, like this much oil, could turn into a baron. Or not a baron, a tycoon. As the oil is spouting everywhere, I don't actually know if this is a way out for you, but I think, like, my face getting covered in this, the alleyway getting covered in this oil, I just stare. I'm not saying anything, my gun is still out, but I'm just hoping.
This is the second way out you've offered me. And it would be stupid to not take it, to once again brush it aside. And so, as it is easier for me to move through oil, you watch with the turn of my head at you that almost seems nostalgic, that seems like an acceptance of not being able to be wanted here, but not being able to live anywhere else. I kind of slick down, the oil grasping onto all parts of me. Me moving to live within it and become it. I, in a form you recognized me in, disappears.
I will stand alone in this alleyway, my gun still out, eyes shimmering with tears, as I wait for what comes next.
Well, there it is!
Wow! game! What a game! Oh, I felt like that could have gone on for hours. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, it truly is, I think, just like, however you roll, it is how the game goes.
Like, yeah, because I feel like we could have done, like, weeks and months long of, like, me hunting you across the wilds and, like...
Yeah, I think that if you had won that last one, I was going to ask if we would do, like, it was almost a time jump chase where you said, don't come back here, and then I leave for a long time before coming back. And, like, I was going to, like... ask for a time jump if you were into that. And so, yeah, I think it could have, like...
That's absolutely where my brain went to. I like that we did it when it came to conflict in the moment of, like, in Meteora Res, just, like, very quick, where it should have been conflicty and the chase was happening. But I like that it also could span over miles and months and any, like, time, space, all of it. That was so fun.
Thank you, Dylan. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Dylan. Thank you, Megan. I will be hunting both of you. I've declared myself the hunter. You are my quarry. Okay.
Well, again, thank you, Lixie, for joining me in this. This was so much fun. I'm glad I finally got you on the podcast.
Yes!
For everybody listening, I'm going to say if you liked that game, but honestly, I don't know how you wouldn't, because it's super fun, and I advise you to get your hands on it, which means go to the description box and click on the Kickstarter for the game, head over there, and support it, because I am going to play this game 100 more times. It's so fun, and, you know, if you're looking for a short game or a long game, this can kind of go both ways. If you end up ending this game before you're ready for it, part of the rules is then you can keep playing. So, as I said, you can go into the description box, click the link for the Kickstarter, and go give them all of your support. Thank you so much, Lexi, for being on the show.
Heck yeah.
You know, and if you support us, either through leaving us a tip on our Ko-Fi, or signing up for our Patreon, or rating this episode, or reviewing this episode, you know, then you're supporting an indie creator who's trying to help support other indie creators by having you go support those indie creators after you listen to this indie-created show. Is that clear enough for you? Until next time.
Bye!